Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? Good? Wow, well, this side is packed. I didn't even see that. I was facing up front. All right, we are going through the 40 days of community right now, and one of the aspects, what we're talking about today is what destroys relationships, but what builds relationships. But first of all, let's pray and open up. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your glory this morning. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, Father. I thank you, Father, for the hearts that you've already softened, Father. I thank you, Father, for using me, Father. I thank you that you use each one of us, Father, and you think so highly of each one of us, Father, and you love us so much, Father, and you think we're so special. I just praise you for that this morning. I praise you for who you are this morning, Lord. I just pray that you just speak through me, Father, and I just pray that your name is proclaimed this morning. I love you and thank you, Lord, and I invite the Holy Spirit just come down and to speak wisdom. I love and praise you in this day. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. All right. So we're talking about relationships. We're talking about relationships, not boyfriend and girlfriend, not husband and wife, but it can relate. But we're talking about, this morning we're talking about relationships within the church. All right, and one of the key verses that start us off here is found in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. And it says, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Each member belongs to all the others. Each one of us in this room belongs to each other. That's a crazy thought. Tom, you belong to some of the Heidelberg students. The Heidelberg students belong to you guys in the back. We belong to each other as the body of Christ. All right? So we see this ultimate goal of us belonging together. To get there, we need instructions. That's why we have the Word of God. The other day, last Saturday, a week ago, I saw an ultimate goal. All right, I was shopping at Walmart, or it might have been a week ago, but half a week or so. Shopping at Walmart, and I was thinking, I mean, I should get a book, and I should, you know, further my knowledge. And then I thought about getting... I thought about getting crossword puzzles, and I thought about getting a puzzle and stuff like that, but it wasn't exciting as a Nerf InStrike Recon CS6 dart gun. And when I saw this gun, I fell in love with it. Alright? And this was the ultimate goal on the front here, to get that gun with the beam, with the barrel, and all this stuff together. I thought, man, I'm excited. I cannot wait to open this. So I open it up, and it comes out in pieces. So, like I was saying before, to get to the ultimate goal, we follow the instructions. So I've been wanting to put it together, and I figured I'd put it together today, and you guys could watch, and we could do it together. It'd be fun. So the first step here in putting together this Nerf gun is /snap, flip upside onto blaster unit, or onto blaster until it locks into place. So we have our blaster unit here, or blaster whatever, with bullets falling out. And we're going to put this eyepiece on here, alright? So that's the first step. Put it this way. There we go. Alright. It's got a little hole on it, so I can see exactly where I'm shooting. So I want to shoot somebody right in the forehead. It's possible. Alright, so I have my blaster unit. Alright, so that's the first step. Now, the parallel to this, the first step in building a relationship, we're going to talk about what destroys relationship. The first thing that destroys relationship is selfishness. Tell you what, this is something I used to struggle with. Selfishness destroys relationships. James 4, verses 1 and 2. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have it because you do not ask God." The battles that were within us is the selfishness within us. If you think about what causes quarrels between you and your friends, or what causes quarrels between you and somebody in the church, or in the body, it's usually the battles within you, the selfishness within us. I wish it was the case where we could overcome selfishness, because there's times where we do unselfish things. There's times we do unselfish things and we think, all right, I finally overcome it. And then in an hour, when somebody asks us to go get the dishes or do the dishes, or when somebody asks us to take out the trash, instantly we're like, why don't you do it? Because it's human nature to be selfish. But the thing is, it's a continuous battle. Battling our selfishness our selfishness, is a continuous battle in our walk with Christ. Continuing to battle that internal in the battles within us that we want to do what's best for us is a continuous struggle. I know with me, one of the things I struggle with in selfishness in my relationships in this church and with my relationships outside this church is being rushy. Even a lot of times it's because I don't even have anywhere to go. I'm just rushy. Someone wants to talk to me. I'm like, yeah, I gotta go. I gotta go home and sit in the chair. I gotta go home and, you know, eat some chips. I gotta go. You know, and we've been built into ourselves to that selfish desire to continuously be rushing, to continuously be on the move. Part of the body of church, when you know somebody is really focused on you, when you know somebody is unselfish towards you, is when they take time. They take time, and I know there's times where I've taken time to actually engage in a relationship, and it'll end up that I'll get back, and it was good that I engaged in time because that person it benefited that person. Because when we take time to spend time with a person, when we take time to invest in that person, you may not see exactly right after that the reward, but you will eventually see the reward when you continuously start to invest in people and not be so rushy. Selfishness is the first thing that destroys our relationships in the church. The opposite to this is selflessness builds relationships. So selflessness builds relationships. Philippians 2 verse 4 says, "Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." I like this because it says you should take care of yourself. It's not saying that you should do everything, you know, that you should kill yourself for other people. But in the same token, it's saying that you also need to show interest for other people. You don't need to be a doormat for people. But part of our relationship, part of the key to our relationships in the church and in the body of Christ is the unselfishness. What does this mean? One of the big things it means to be unselfish is to listen. All right, because I know for me, I'm already thinking of my response when somebody's talking to me. I know what you're going to say. You know, here's what I'm going to say back. You know, we'll go through the whole process. But what does it mean to be unselfish? Is when you engage in somebody, when you're not rushing, we're focusing on them and listening. Being unselfish is just listening. Sometimes it's hard for us just to stop and listen. Just to listen to somebody. Because a lot of times when we just stop and listen to somebody with our offer advice, that's all they really wanted. They came. I remember there's an episode of Home Improvement, and Tim would, you know, obviously, you know, he screwed up, and Jill came home one night and she was telling him all this stuff, and he was trying to say stuff back to her, trying to get her cheered up, and trying to do all this stuff to say back to her. He went out and talked to Wilson, and Wilson kind of, you know, he gave him that quote or whatever he said from a famous philosopher or theologian or person, and he said, "Sometimes people just want to listen." Tim, and Tim couldn't understand that Jill just wanted to get her feelings out. Jill just wanted to talk. Sometimes in the body, as a relationship, it's just good to hear about people. Through the love of God, it's just good to hear about people. Just to hear about what's going on in people's lives. Amen? And then I ask you this, I ask, when's the last time you paid attention to somebody or put interest in somebody, like this verse says, when's the last time you put interest in somebody other, okay, some other person? And here's a clincher, someone other than your family member or someone other than a close friend. Because I'm telling you, when it really counts is when you show love to somebody that's not going to show love back. Or when you show love to somebody that you've never shown love before. This isn't going to be up there, but if you turn to Luke chapter 14, verses 12, through 14, it says this. It says, "Then Jesus said to his host, 'When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.'" Know this, that when you serve and when you choose to be unselfish towards somebody, when you choose to love somebody, do it because you know that they probably can't give it back. Or you know that you don't want anything back. Because I know when I do nice things for somebody, one of my buddies here asked me, "Hey, can I borrow a couple bucks for McDonald's?" First thing that pops in my head is, I wonder if they're going to pay me back. Are they going to give me that $2 back? But when we serve with what is true love and true unselfishness is serving the body and not worrying about what you're going to get in return. Not worrying about what you're going to get out of the relationship, because you'll get what you deserve. God will give you what you get, what your reward. But having faith in that relationship, having faith in the body. Galatians 6, 7, 8. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, though the one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You will get a reward. You will get a reward for being unselfish. God will reward you. I guarantee when you show love and when you do it, know that you're going to get a reward in heaven, and know that God is proud of you. Know that in your heart that God is serving with you, and know that you're serving God. Know that you're not so much serving the person, but you're serving God. All right, step two of the gun. Back to putting this Nerf gun together. Got to put this together. Slide stock onto rear end of main blaster unit until it clicks into place. All right. So this is obviously the stock. All right. So all we got to do is slide it on back here. And it clicks. How about that? So this is kind of rested on your shoulder. I got my eye thing now. It's coming together. All right. That's step two of the gun. Step two of our relationships within the body of the church. Pride destroys relationships. If you have pride in your relationships within the body, it's going to destroy it. I know I have personal examples. Proverbs 13:10. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Here's a couple of tests to see if you're prideful or if you struggle with pride. Are you critical of people? When somebody walks in the room, do you analyze everything about that person? Do you analyze what's wrong with them? Do you see what they're wearing, how they're walking, what looks they're making? If they have black socks on with dress pants, do they have brown belt? Do you analyze that stuff? Do you compare everything? Do you compare your salaries? Do you compare your jobs? Do you compare what you're wearing? Do you compare how good you are at a video game? Do you compare yourself to other people? And do you compare what you have to what other people have? Do you struggle with admitting you're wrong or saying I'm sorry? Is this a struggle in your life? Do you struggle with breaking down and saying I was wrong there? I'm sorry. I need your forgiveness. Do you have shallow relationships and keep your relationships superficial, not allowing people to get close to you? This is a big one for me. I know that in my walk with Christ, I tend to have shallow relationships. How can I make each relationship deeper? How can I make each relationship in the body intimate? Sometimes I struggle with being real with people. Sometimes people say, "How are you doing?" "I'm good." And I think we do that as a body. "How are you doing?" "I'm good." But that's what the body's here for, is that when you say, "Man, I'm struggling with something," the body surrounds you and they lay hands on you. That's what the body is for. The body is simply a mouth of God to come through you in a way that you can't do by yourself. Understand that for pride and selfishness, that these things can't be overcome by yourself. If you're thinking, as soon as I get home, I'm making a to-do list, I'm going to do this. Or if you're thinking, as soon as I get home, I'm doing this and this. You can't overcome it by yourself. How we overcome these things is we pray that God do it through us. Because God does it a lot better through us than we can do it ourselves. When you pray that God soften your heart, that He can be unselfish through you, when you pray that God can soften your heart so that He can get rid of that pride and He can do it through you, that's when God starts working. Because I'm telling you, if you try to do it for yourself, it'll last for about 2 or 3 days. And then after that, you're just going to start going downhill again until you hear another sermon. And I'm telling you, what keeps you going is praying that God do it through you. Because God does a great job. And that's what it means to have all of God inside of us. The opposite of pride is humility. Humility builds relationships. How important is the relationships in the church? How important do you view the relationships in the church? Do you view your relationship with an older person or with a younger person as very valuable? How do you view that? Because if you don't view that right, you don't view the body of the church, body of Christ well. We need, as younger adults, we need the olders, and as the older, we need the younger, and everybody needs each other as a body. Humility builds relationships. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. A big part of humility is living in harmony with each other. Because understand this, that not everybody is like you. And not everybody, you may think that there are some people that are difficult to deal with in your life. All right, there may be some people in your life that are like, I cannot deal with this person. But God has said today that you need to live in harmony with that person because God lives in harmony with you. Because I know that with me, that I'm a hard person to deal with. I constantly say, God, I want to do your will. And then He says, all right, here's my will. And I'm like, I don't think so. God, I want to do your will. You know, Jim, don't do this. I'm like, I don't know about that. You know, we say God guide us. We say God use us. But if we're serious, why aren't we taking those steps? Amen? We need to humble ourselves. And a big part of humility is being patient in our relationships with God. Understand that God is so patient with you. He was patient with you for probably 18 to 20 years of your life before you finally got it. He was patient. He's patient with you for years. We have to be patient with our brothers and sisters in the body. We can't jump to conclusions if we see a brother, if we see a brother doing something, we don't know if he should be doing that. We can't jump. So our first thing I know for me is just to simply judge and say, what is she doing or what is he doing? We can't jump to that. The body has to be completely humble. Because we remember the biggest act of humility in the history of the earth, the history of the world, and forever is Christ, knowing that He came down. All right, He knows that He's the Son of God. He knows that He has the power to zap everybody right now, just like that. He has the power to do that. Knowing that He has the power to say, you know what, I'm going back to heaven right now. He has the power to do whatever He wanted. He chose to yield His right and His power and humble Himself. Wow, okay? Humble yourself today to go over and talk to somebody that may look a little bit different to you, that you don't know if you should talk to. God puts people on your heart that are in the body of Christ that He wants you to grow together. This whole thing about 40 days of community is about growing together. If we don't take this serious, if we don't lock in and understand that we got to grow together as a body. I'm telling you, I can't do it. We can't do it or individually. We need the church of the world to do it with us. We got to start now, though. We got to start as the body to engage in our relationships now. Engage in the relationships in this church and in the people in this room. Because I'm telling you, if you think one person on fire is nuts, think about a church that's on fire. Think about a church that's on fire for Christ and constantly humbling themselves. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Do you know in your head that others are better than himself, or do you believe it in your heart? Because those are two different things today, people. Those are two different things today. First, Sometimes I know the Scripture, but believe it in your heart. Let God's words in the Scripture sink into your heart and allow it to change you today. Do you believe in your heart that when you walk out of here that everybody is better than you? Do you believe that when you see somebody on the street or when you see somebody that you think probably the least of, do you believe in your heart that person is better than you? Because Christ believed everybody was better than Him. He was the Son of God and He still believed everybody was better than Him. He didn't do anything wrong. He had every right to be big-headed. He had every right to be cocky. He had every right to not look at other people in a humble way. Do you today, do you look at everybody in a humble way? Or because you have a title at your job, or because you have a title in the ministry, or because you have a title in your sport, or you have a title that's higher than somebody else, do you view them lower than you? Do you view people lower than you in the worldly sense? Or do you view people lower than you, higher than you? We've got to view people are better than ourselves because people are going to recognize how we view, because that's how the body of Christ should view everybody. Step 3 and 4 of putting this Nerf InStrike Recon CS6 together. Attach barrel extension to the main blaster unit by sliding extension into place and twisting 90 degrees to lock. All right. This is the coolest. This is one of my favorite parts. You guys excited? I'm excited. I don't know. You guys should be excited. Here we go. And then turn 90 degrees. Oh, there we go. You guys are seeing. Hold on. That's sweet. It's looking good. All right, we're making along. All right, so that's the third and fourth step. All right, so third and fourth step in our spiritual relationship with Christ, in our relationships. insecurity destroys relationships. Understand that today, that the insecurity you have in your heart, the fear you have in your heart to engage in a relationship is destroying your relationship. And not only that, but like we were talking about before, how many relationships are you shallow in? Are you deep in all your relationships? Are you real in all your relationships? Because for the body to be strong, we need to be real with everybody. We need to be real with everybody, because I know for there's some people I understand there's people that you may be closer to, but understand, are you real with people? Or do you put a mask on? Well, the pastor's going to say, how are you doing? I'm great, pastor. I'm super, you know, everything's great, you know. Are you real? Are you fake towards people? Proverbs 29:25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Fear of man. If you want to lose the fear of man, start telling the truth. If you want to lose the fear of man, the fear of what people think of you, the fear of rejection, start telling the truth. We have this insecurity inside of us because we've been rejected. We have this fear of insecurity inside of us because we don't want to be rejected again. But understand that when you go through, when you have a relationship, that's the beauty of a relationship in the body of church, is that that when you're rejected, you're going to be rejected. That's the truth of it. There's going to be times you're going to feel rejected. The beauty of it is that Jesus Christ was rejected too. In that when you're rejected, Jesus promises you that He's going to be with you when you're rejected. He's going to promise you when you feel like a loneliness. He's going to be with you, and He promises that when you're feeling rejected, you know that in your heart that Christ is in there. You know that you don't feel loneliness. You may feel a little bit of loneliness, but you know for the most part that Christ is with you. And Christ went through the most rejection that anybody has ever gone through. Everybody rejected Him. His 12 disciples, He had best friends, 12 best friends. One betrayed Him, the other ones ran off when He was being crucified. He was rejected to the max. The opposite side of this, what builds relationship, what destroys this insecurity, is love. Love casts out all fear. Love casts out fear today. The love of God will cast out your fear today. If you have a fear of becoming in a relationship with somebody in here, the love will cast it out in the name of Jesus today. Amen?
That's my boy right there. My boy.
1 John 4:9-12. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. When we grasp this much of God's love, when, I don't know about you guys, but there's been a time in your life when you've just felt just a little bit of God's love. It casts out this much fear. When you just feel that much, how powerful is His love today? That if you feel this much love, if you just get that feeling like God's there that much, that God is with you during that time of rejection, or that God is with you right now that much, nothing scares you. Nothing puts fear into you. When whatever you're doing, especially in the relationships with God. Since God loves us, we should love each other. It's just pay it forward. God loves us. He sent His only Son to die for us. So we're going to love each other because God loves us. And when we experience that, I don't know if you've ever experienced the love of Christ through the body, but man, it's powerful. When the body surrounds you in a time of loneliness or time of rejection, when the body surrounds you and says, you know what, I don't know exactly what's going on in your life. I'm not sure exactly how, you know, even if you're making the right decisions, but we're going to surround you and show you the love of Christ, not because of what you're going to give back to us, or not because of what's going on in your life, but because the body, because God showed love to us. Because God showed love to us by sending His Son. Just a little bit of that love can change this much of your fear. You can feel this much fear when you touch God. Just touch God that much. It changes your life. This is a poster I hang in my room. And I love it because I try to start out reading it by every day. I try to look at it every day. But it says, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? He answered, this much. And he stretched his arms and died. He stretched his arms and died. The cross means forgiveness today. The cross means salvation today. The cross means new life today. But the Christ ultimately represents love. When you see a cross in your life, when you see a cross, wherever you see a cross, driving down the road, whenever, it represents God's love. God's saying, I love you whenever you see that. This represents God's love. And this should change your life. This should eliminate all fear. When you have a fear of what's going to go on tomorrow with whatever you got fears of, when you have a fear of engaging in a relationship with somebody and letting those walls down to engage in that relationship with somebody, when you look at the cross, it should wipe away everything. Because that's why we have the cross. Because the cross is love. And the love casts out all the fear that you have in your heart. The cross today is the ultimate love that changes your life. If you can just grasp a little bit of what Jesus did on here, if you can grasp a little bit of what the cross means, it's going to cast out all your fear. Wow. All right, then step 5 and step 6. All right. Of putting this gun together. Front sight flips up. Slide the beam unit into bottom of the barrel extension. Okay. That's my favorite part here. All right. So what they're talking about is this little part. So you can line it up with a hole. So you line it up with a hole. And I can have... Oh, man. I could shoot a dime in the back of the sanctuary right now if I wanted to. Anybody ever shot a dart gun? It's like the ultimate high of my life, honestly. Like if you haven't shot a dart gun, you need to shoot a dart gun. You need to live on the edge. All right. So we've got to put this... That's backwards. All right. So we've got to put this in the bottom. This is the next step here. Put all this together. All right. So now, turn this on. Everybody go, ooh. It's a red light. So you know, you ever seen those movies where you put the red light on? Oh, I got it right on. Right there. I got my own gaze phase. When you put the right light on somebody, it tells you where you're aiming. All right? So I got this red light. You thinking a dart gun has a red light on it? All right. So you got this red light, and this is a blast, I'm telling you. So you got this red light to see where you're aiming. All right? So that's the first step. So we're getting this thing put together. Thank you guys for being patient. We've been wanting to put this together all week, and you guys, we're doing it together. It's fun. All right. The next thing that destroys relationship is resentment. Resentment destroys relationships. If you don't know what resentment simply means bitterness. Job 5, verse 2. Resentment kills a fool, and envy slays the simple. Understand this, that when you get in a relationship with somebody in the church, when we together get in relationships with the body and people in the church, when you have the body surrounding you, understand that we are human. If you get in a relationship with me, I'm going to screw up. I'm going to be first to admit it. I'm going to do something dumb. I'm not going to call you back. I'm not going to text you after you text me back. There's going to be something I do that I'm not going to do that's right. But understand that we are all human, and as the body, we're going to screw up. As a body, we're going to do things because we're human that aren't that intentionally or unintentionally that we don't mean to do, like that are going to maybe give some bitterness in your heart. Understand that you're going to do it to somebody else. That you've probably done something unintentionally or maybe intentionally to hurt somebody else or to cause resentment in somebody else. So understanding that, when you feel bitterness in your heart, that is normal. Understand that when you feel bitterness in your heart, you have two options. You can either, one, let it fester and let it dwell in your heart, or number two, say, I'm not going to deal with this bitterness. I'm going to look past. I'm going to look past the bitterness and look on to with the eyes of Jesus. When the Pharisees and when people rejected Jesus, He still loved them. He was on the cross. He was about ready to die. He was on the cross. He was this close to death. And He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, what kind of, he had all the right to be bitter in his heart. I'm sure Satan was like, be bitter, be bitter, be bitter. But he chose to say, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive. Are you saying, Father, forgive them to people that may have hurt you in the church? Are you saying, Father, forgive you to people that may have hurt you outside the church? Are you saying, Father, forgive people? Or are you saying, Father, forgive me for hurting somebody in the church? Are you letting that bitterness, that resentment dwell in your heart? Because as a woman of God, as a man of God, as a body and church of Christ, we've got to look past things that other churches, maybe another church hurt. You've got to move past that. And obviously the other side of this is forgiveness. Forgiveness builds relationships. So we have four things now that we found out today. We found out selfishness destroys relationships. Selflessness builds relationships. Pride destroys relationships. Humility builds them. Insecurity destroys relationships. Love builds relationships. Resentment destroys relationships. And forgiveness builds relationships. These are the instructions to putting the body of Christ together. Just like the instructions put the gun together. Forgiveness builds relationships. Colossians 3, verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as you forgave. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Understand that today that you know what? One good reason why you should forgive your brother and sister is because God says, if you don't forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you. And trust me, we cannot make it to heaven if God does not forgive us. We cannot make it to heaven if we don't have God's forgiveness. That's a perfect good reason today for us to forgive. And also because God forgave us. After all the dumb things I do, and after all the dumb things I'm going to do, God still forgives me. God would put His life on the line and forgives me. That is why we forgive the body of Christ. That is why we choose to say, you know what, resentment? You want to be bitter. I want to be bitter towards the church. I want to be bitter towards this person in my life. I want to be bitter towards this leader that I felt like didn't pay enough attention to me or whatever the case is. But you say, you know what? I'm going to forgive that, all right? And I'm going to look past that, okay? Because that's our job as the body of Christ. Understand this: that forgiveness is not saying that what that person did in your life, that what that person did is wasn't a big deal. It probably was a big deal. It's not saying that it wasn't a big deal. It's not saying that what that person did wasn't wrong. That's not what forgiveness is saying. Forgiveness is saying simply this: that it is letting go of the pain and your right to get even. It is letting go of the fact that you have a right to get even. Letting go of the fact that you really want to get even with that person. Letting go of the pain, the hurt that you have inside your heart from that what that person did. It's letting go of that and saying, you know what? I'm going to forgive it. I'm going to let it go. It's not saying that it wasn't wrong. It's not saying that it wasn't a big deal. Just like our relationships with God. God, you know, sinning is wrong. All right? What we do is wrong. But God looks past that. He doesn't look past the fact that it wasn't wrong. He forgives us. Once again, I cannot stress enough that as much as you try today, as much as you try to make a priority list or make a to-do list on what you're going to do to accomplish these four things, as much as you try, all right, you can't do it, all right? You need to pray. You need to pray. Get on your knees and pray that God does it through you. God, forgive these people through me. You can't forgive them. It'll work for about a couple days, like I said, and then you'll be back to bitterness again. You cannot have humility, and you cannot have selflessness if you don't ask God to do it through you. That's how God works. Understand, brothers and sisters, that God works through us. He doesn't tell us what to do. He works through us. Christ dwells within us right now, and He does it through us. Have you ever had one of those times where you've done something unselfish or done something or forgave somebody, but you didn't do it? You're like, wow, I don't know how I did that. I don't know how I was able to do that. God does it through us. Don't try to do it because God will do it through you. That's the beauty of our God. Amen? Step 7 of the gun. We're almost there. How cool is this? A Nerf gun has a clip, like magazine, with darts in it. I'm going to shoot somebody. Yeah, I like that. All right, so now the last piece is putting in the bullets. All right? It's not going to fire. Bullets messed up. All right, well, I'll show you guys after the service, because we don't have time right now. No, but I got the magazine in. I got the hole. Everything is attached. Everything's ready to go. All right, I can see where I'm aiming. Just this is simply for you to understand what the body of Christ is all about. The body of Christ, the things I talked about, insecurity in those things, the forgiveness and the selflessness and the humility and the love. When you add all those together, you can see where you're going in life. You can see where the church, the body of Christ is going. You have an aiming point, the red beam. You can see when you have all the points. If this gun is missing one little thing in the thing, it doesn't exactly work right. If you're missing the eyepiece, if you're missing the beam, or if you're missing the barrel, it doesn't exactly work right. You need everything for it to work well. You need everything in the body of Christ, in your relationships with the body of Christ, your relationships outside the body of Christ. You need everything for that relationship to be solid. All right. Understand that the most important reason why you have the body of Christ is not so you can get to be close friends and solely just because you can have better relationship. But ultimately, the goal is that when you get better relationships with the body of Christ, when you get better relationships with people outside the body of Christ, ultimately it gives you a better relationship with Christ. And that's what we're all striving for. That's what we're all striving for, is that ultimate relationship with Christ. And I'm telling you, one of the coolest ways to see Christ work in your life is through the body. So we're going to take time today. We're going to take 5 minutes here, the last five minutes here. And we're going to take 5 minutes. I want you to stand up. I want you to look across the room and go talk to somebody that you've never talked to in this church. I want you, if you've talked to everybody, then talk to somebody you least talk to. This is crazy, I know. What? You know, I just want to listen to sermons, sing a song, and go home. But we're going to take time now, and we're going to invest in what I'm talking about, and I'm going to go out there and we're going to engage in a relationship. Don't talk to the person sitting next to you. Try to step out of the comfort zone. Go talk to somebody in the back if you're in the front. Go talk to somebody in the front if you're in the back, and engage in a relationship and say this, all right? The action steps for this week. Who do you need to be more unselfish with? Who have you been critical or judgmental of? Have you been unwilling to admit I was wrong? I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Have you been afraid of being real with other people? Let's be real today as a church and as a body of Christ. When you go back there and you ask somebody how they're doing, tell the truth. Let's be honest with each other. And invest in, let's build that relationship and build that body. Because I'm telling you, in any sport team, in anything we do, the stronger the body, the stronger the team that knows everybody, the stronger the whole picture looks. The stronger the whole relationship with God is, and the better the body is. So take time, stand up, go visit with somebody that you've never talked to. Oh yeah, this is going to be hard, but do it. I'm telling you, the person you're going to go talk to is the person you need to talk to. This is the person you're supposed to talk to. So take time right now and go invest in somebody. All right, let's close in prayer here. Know that though that today the people that you talk to, know that today that you were supposed to talk to them. Know that when we build those relationships with the church, know that doesn't stop here. It continues to go. Your relationship with the person needs to continue to grow. Know that today that doesn't stop here. God wants to do an amazing thing in your life. And He doesn't just want to do it just with His relationship with you alone. He wants to do it with you through the body of Christ. In this 40 days of community, that's what this is all about, is doing God doing a new thing through you, through the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, once you get to know people, it's crazy. Once you get to know people, it's amazing what you learn about people. It's amazing what you learn about God through people. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this glorious day, Father. I thank You for Your forgiveness, Father. Lord, I thank You for Your love. I thank You for the body of Christ, Father. I thank You for Your love for the body of Christ, Father. Your name is so holy this day, Father. And I just pray that we can understand, Father, and You can soften my heart enough, Father, that I can be selflessness, Father. Show selflessness, Father. You can soften my heart, Father, that I can be a servant, Father. Just soften my heart so I can see my pride and see everything that I need to get rid of in my relationships, Father, that we all need to get rid of in our relationships, Father. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your name. Thank You for Your love on the cross. And I just pray that You just give us the desire in our hearts, Father, this week to grow in the body of Jesus, Father, in the body of You, Father. I love and praise You and thank You for this day. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Go and have a great week, and God bless.